Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5:30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. The next major phase of the TEN-T priority route improvement project is set to begin this week. The HSE has a contingency plan in place ahead of ambulance service disruption to the public tomorrow. Live register figures for April have been published by the Central Statistics Office, and health officials in Northern Ireland are asking people with symptoms of stomach bugs not to visit hospitals or healthcare centres. These stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have a full update of all the sport with Oisin at around 5:45. But first, the next major phase of the TEN-T priority route improvement project is set to begin this week. Donegal County Council has confirmed that planning, environmental assessments and compulsory purchase order documentation will be published in national and local newspapers on Thursday. The council says the project is of regional and national importance and represents the single greatest investment in transport infrastructure in Donegal's modern history. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The council says the TEN-T priority route improvement project opens up Donegal to new opportunities for increased domestic and international investment and is now set to go through the statutory approval process with An Coimisiún Pleanála as strategic infrastructure. Members of the public, including affected landowners, will have the opportunity to make submissions to An Coimisiún Pleanála on the application and CPO. The application is also subject to a transboundary consultation with Northern Ireland. This statutory public consultation period will be 8 weeks. The council says An Coimisiún Pleanála may, at its absolute discretion, convene an oral hearing. The CPO and associated maps identify all of the lands required for the construction and operation of the project and list the property owners impacted by the CPO. The earliest date for commencement of the project is 2028, subject to funding and procurement processes.
Senior engineer in the Roads Office of the Council, Damien McDermott, joined the Greg Hughes Show this morning to explain the process up to date. He says they have been in constant communication with the landowners affected.
We set out what the scheme involves with them, what the land requirements are of them, and there has been discussion with them non-stop for the last, I would say, 5-6 years, if not more, and that will continue. The negotiations really don't get into earnest until we confirm the planning for the project, as you can understand. But a lot of the details have been worked out with them, and certainly we're providing with all possible information that they require so they know what to do going forward on the scheme and how we can help them as regards, which is a difficult thing for MB for us to buy land or property from them. And so, we're trying to work that through with each of them, and we'll continue to do that through the next 8 weeks of the consultation period and beyond that.
That's been echoed by Donegal County Council Gaherla Councillor Paul Canning, who told Greg Hughes a huge amount of preparation work and informal consultation has already taken place. And once permission is confirmed, formal discussions with landowners will begin in earnest. Councillor Canning says most people have no conception how big this project will be.
We're investing €1 billion into the county, which is absolutely fantastic. Layman's terms, we have three sections. We have the section from Balbuffet to Letterkenny, we have the section from Letterkenny to Manor, and we have the Manor to Lufford. People in Balbuffet will be in Letterkenny in a few minutes. People in Letterkenny will be in Balbuffet in a few minutes. This is major, major. People don't realise how big of an achievement that has become here with the whole NRDO. So I think it's fantastic for the county. We have a situation that we are going to the board with a planning application. A lot of the landowners out there are apprehensive and thinking, like, they're looking at the A5 and they're saying, oh, this is never going to happen. This is going to happen. This is definitely going to happen. This is going to be a piece of infrastructure that is going to happen. We can't go ahead of ourselves in regards to negotiation with certain landowners because we don't actually have the planning permission granted. So in order, in case people out there or landowners out there are thinking, hold on a second minute, they're not speaking to me in the proper language, but they can't because they have to get the planning permission first before they realise, well, this is the route that we are taking, this is the route that we have selected, and this is what is getting developed.
Ambulance workers have begun industrial action as they prepare for a 24-hour work stoppage tomorrow. EMTs, paramedics and advanced paramedics are engaging in the work to rule today before a strike begins at 8 a.m. SIPTU says further work stoppages are scheduled for the 19th and 26th of May and on dates in June. Brendan McGovern is General Manager Operations of the National Ambulance Service in the Northwest. On today's Greg Hughes show, he urged unions to return to the negotiation table, saying people who call for ambulances during strike action may be diverted elsewhere.
Our capacity to respond will be significantly impacted, but I suppose I'd like to reassure members that we're working with our trade union partners to ensure that we can respond as promptly as possible to life-threatening calls. And where any member of the public does need to contact 999, but whose call is not clinically triaged as life-threatening, they may be advised of potentially another appropriate alternative care mechanism. And where it's clinically safe to do so, callers would be asked to first consider or maybe be directed to another care option. The first period of strike action, it takes place tomorrow, from 0800 in the morning until 0800 on Wednesday morning, the 13th. I would be confident that after that time, service will resume as normal and a full service will be provided immediately. Hopefully, there will be a resolution before that time, and that's why I'm calling on the union and their membership to consider the potential impact of the strike action that they're considering to re-engage as early as possible and if possible, to avert tomorrow's strike action entirely. The HSE management and the Department of Health are more than willing and are ready right this moment to engage once again. We very much call on the union's membership to consider their position also and be ready to extend the olive branch, if you like, and return to negotiations. We're ready to try and resolve this if they are.
Live register figures for April have been published by the Central Statistics Office. Across Donegal, there was a 6% decrease in the number of people on the register, with drops recorded at every social welfare office compared to April 2025. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
Ballybuffet has had the largest decrease in people signing on, from 1,001 to 879, accounting for 12%. Both Donegal Town and Dunloe had 11% drops, from 488 to 433 and 822 to 730 respectively. These were followed by the Social Welfare Office in Ballyshannon, which fell by 10% to 790 from 879. Dunfanaghy seen 7% less people, with a total of 450. From 484 the year prior. Buncrana figures went from 1,412 to 1,377, a drop of 3%. Finally, marginal decreases of 1 and 2% were seen in the Killybegs and Letterkenny areas. Lists there went from 381 to 378 and 2,132 to 2,090.
Health officials in Northern Ireland are asking people with symptoms of stomach bugs not to visit hospitals or healthcare centres, as cases of illnesses including norovirus continue to circulate in the community. The Western Health and Social Care Trust says anyone suffering from vomiting, nausea, stomach cramps or abdominal pain should stay away from healthcare settings to reduce the risk of infection spreading to vulnerable patients. People are also being reminded not to return to hospitals or care facilities until at least 48 hours after their symptoms have cleared. A footbridge in Strabane has officially been named in honour of the late councillor Ivan Barr. The pedestrian footbridge was formally renamed the Ivan Barr Bridge during a commemorative ceremony held on Saturday. Ivan Barr was first elected to Strabane District Council in 1985 and was widely known for his work on social justice and as a dedicated socialist and republican. His brother councillor Raymond Barr says where the bridge is located is the same place where their teenage sister Denise was found dead after she didn't make it home from a night out in Letterkenny in 1976. He says he has found comfort in that.
That's ironic, just knowing that the bridge is directly above the spot where Ivan's sister Denise was murdered in 1976. No one has ever been brought to account for that. Ivan worked tirelessly, to try and get justice for Denise. Unfortunately, he passed away before he could achieve it. The family's carrying that fight on.
Whenever it's a memorial to him, it nearly is like one for her as well, in the location.
Exactly. There's a. I don't know, personally speaking, I feel a certain warmth and the thought that, Ivan's there watching over Denise at that spot now.
The Taoiseach has confirmed the government's plans to incentivise Ukrainian refugees to return home. Micheál Martin did not offer many details. He did confirm it's expected to come in some form of support package. The plans are being drawn up by the Justice Minister. The Taoiseach expects details to be provided to Cabinet soon.
And what's been looked at potentially is a package to help people to travel back and set up again, because quite a number of people have nowhere to go back to. And that, I think, overall would be sustainable in terms of the costs that are incurred here in terms of commercial centres and so on. So the a memo will be brought to government by Minister Jim O'Callaghan and Conor Brophy.
INTO leader Padraig Tobin doesn't agree with the idea.
I don't think it sits well with people to think that if it is safe to return, and we have helped so much, that we should also financially incentivise returns. That, I think, would be very difficult. Like, we've already paid billions of euros in terms of supports for people from Ukraine in this country. And 2024 was 1.1 billion euros for accommodation. And indeed, figures with regard to ARP runs into the hundreds of millions. Ireland has been incredibly generous, and rightly so, in relation to the supports that it has given so far. But I also think that there needs to be a little bit of common sense as well. If you look at, for example, the Ukraine Tourist Organization, they've said very clearly that, yes, in the east of the country, it is unsafe, that it is dangerous there, etc. But in the west of the country, they are welcoming tourists.
Letterkenny Municipal District is seeking a reduction in speed limit on the R245 Remelton Road between Thorndale and the Kiltoy Golf Course Road Junction under the impending urban speed limit review. The issue was raised by Councillor Donald Coyle, who says he was prompted by recent incidents on the road. As there are now housing developments on both sides of the stretch, Councillor Coyle says the limit should be reduced to 60 kilometres per hour and implemented as quickly as possible.
The motion and that the council ensure that the speed limit be reduced to 60 kilometres per hour on the R245 road between Thorndale and the Kiltoy Golf Course Road Junction under the next urban speed limit review. I suppose, look, there have been a number of fatalities on that stretch of road over the years. It is very dangerous, and especially there at the Kiltoy Golf Course Road Junction. I was happy enough with the response I got to that motion, because it said that this would be considered as part of the urban speed limit review that has currently been progressed. Look at that, there is progress being made on this, and it'll be very welcome, and it'll be welcome too for the residents of Tara Court and the other estates along that road, you know, because coming out onto that road now is, with cars travelling at 80 kilometres an hour or more, you know, if the speed limit is reduced to 60, it would certainly help.
It is 18 minutes to 6 on Highland Radio. All the sport with Oisin after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GAA jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 5:45 on Highland Radio, and Oisin Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. A very good evening. We start with international football. Jaden Uma is the latest player to withdraw from the Republic of Ireland squad to face Granada this weekend. The player has been retained by his club Benfica as they look to qualify for next season's UEFA Youth League. Meanwhile, Ireland striker Johnny Kenny has been ruled out for the rest of the season with a knee injury suffered while on loan at Bolton from Celtic. The Sligo-born forward is now set to miss Ireland's upcoming friendlies against Qatar and Canada, and could require surgery. Tottenham can all but confirm their safety from the Premier League this evening. The 17th place side can stretch their cushion above the relegation zone with a win over Leeds. Tottenham boss Roberto De Zerbi says they are taking nothing for granted in their battle against relegation, knowing a win would take his side 4 points clear of the drop zone this evening.
We can't think in different way. We have to keep this mentality. We must remain humble. Nothing changes. This type of attitude and this type of spirit and showing the qualities of the players.
Kickoff to that game tonight is at 8 o'clock and at the same time in London. A place in the Championship playoff final is up for grabs as Millwall host Hull City in the second leg of their semi-final at the Den. The tie is delicately poised after Friday's goalless first leg, with Millwall extending their unbeaten run to 6 matches. The Lions boast one of the best defence home records in the division, but Hull have won there in their last 2 visits, including a 3-1 victory earlier in the season. West Ham were expected to lodge a formal complaint today with the PGMOL after their late equaliser against Arsenal was ruled out yesterday following a lengthy VAR review. Callum Wilson thought he had rescued a point in stoppage time, but referee Chris Kavanagh disallowed the goal for a foul on Arsenal goalkeeper David Raya. The Hammers have questioned whether the decision met the threshold for VAR intervention, with manager Nuno Espirito Santo calling for greater clarity and consistency from officials. But former Premier League referee Dermot Gallagher believes the officials made the right call.
I think when you watch it, there's so much going on, there's so much to look at. And what happens is you have to go in chronological order. If you look at it, Pablo puts his arm across Raya. He holds it, there's no doubt about that.
The draw has been made for the second round of the Tailteann Cup. In round 2A, Antrim will welcome Tipperary. Fermanagh host Wexford. Laois will make the trip to London, while Offaly take on the winners of Down and Leitrim. Meanwhile, it's last chance saloon for those in round 2B. Wicklow face Limerick, Clare up against Longford, Waterford go to Sligo, while Carlow will face the loser of Down versus Leitrim. Kerry boss Jack O'Connor has admitted both Paul Guinea and Paddy Clifford could miss the All-Ireland Round 1 clash with Donegal in just under 2 weeks' time as injuries mount for the Kingdom. Captain Guinea played no part in the Munster final success over Kerry yesterday, while Clifford was withdrawn at half-time after feeling tight, according to O'Connor. The forward has previously suffered from a hamstring injury. Kerry have struggled with injuries all year and yesterday started just seven of the side, which won the All-Ireland last July. There will, of course, be lots of GA talk this evening on the DL debate with Brendan Devaney. His guests will include 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn and GA sports writer Kieran Cunningham. That's the DL debate live after the 7 o'clock news right here on Highland. In horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall is back in action at Roscommon this evening, looking to continue his winning form since returning from injury. Last year's champion jockey ended a super week on Sunday with a 58-1 treble at Leopardstown. Patrick McGettigan, who also had winners over the weekend, is also racing at Roscommon. Looking ahead to tomorrow, Sligo are hosting an All Jumps card with a preview of the action. Here's Dave Keena.
Sligo opens its doors for the first time for jumps action tomorrow, with the first of seven races due to get underway just before 5:30. Jack Kennedy, the recently crowned champion jockey, he's four rides tomorrow, and the best of those looks as if it's Spectacular, who should gain a deserved winning bracket in the Enda McGoldrick Plant and Agri Maiden Hurdle. Plenty of local interest as usual. Willie Mullen sends two horses up to Sligo, including Casual Water in the opener and the likely favourite In a Sonnet in the concluding bumper, which will be partnered by Patrick Mullins. The ground is good and good to yielding in places, and we get underway at 5:27.
Finally, we go to darts. Mickey Mansell and Willie O'Connor will represent Ireland at this year's World Cup of Darts. County Tyrone man Mansell had previously represented Northern Ireland in the competition, but switched his allegiance earlier this year. Josh Rock and Daryl Gurney will now join forces for Northern Ireland. And that's your sports for this Monday evening. Don't forget the DL debates on the way after the 7 news. Ryan.
Thanks, Oisin. The Irish Postmasters Union has a new North West representative. Teresa Gibson, who runs St Johnstone Post Office, will represent Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim on the union's executive. She replaces Finola McBride of Castle Finn, who also served as the union's general treasurer. Teresa Gibson told Highland Radio News the network is in a strong position in Donegal, but the government could be doing more to support post offices. In particular, she says there can be difficulties where an existing postmaster wants to retire, and it can be difficult to attract someone to take over the service.
It can be in some places. It depends to where the post offices are situated. Some of the smaller towns, which vitally need a post office, it is kind of hard to get, you know, to secure a good deal from and fussed for that. It's not the same as years ago where people wanted to take it on and it ran in families or whatever. A lot of the times it's new people coming in and it is very difficult to get somebody to want to take it on.
And does the government need to review what's on offer on the table, as it were, for new people coming in? Because in many cases now, it's not the case that a post office on its own is going to be commercially viable. And sometimes the government's test for viability is very much geared toward the commercial rather than the community service aspect.
Well, they have in the last few years, they have been more interested in people co-locating into the likes of the supermarkets and places like that there to make it viable for a postmaster. They are offering a new kind of service as well, you know, for some places. If there's a small shop that you can have, like an express service, which will offer, you know, most of the things that we offer in the main post offices. But just on a smaller scale. But it would be in a like in a smaller shop. You know, that is an offer that's there as well.
And the weather staying mostly dry this evening with sunny spells, but cloud will gradually increase from the west later in moderate northwesterly winds. It'll be rather cloudy tonight with patchy light rain and drizzle developing. The rain and drizzle will clear to the southeast towards dawn, though with temperatures of 5 to 9 degrees in light or moderate west or northwesterly winds. Any lingering rain and drizzle will quickly clear tomorrow morning, and the rest of the day will see a mix of sunny spells and showers. The showers will be isolated in the afternoon, but will become more frequent during the evening. A breezy day with moderate to fresh and gusty west to northwesterly winds, becoming strong at times later on the coast. Highest temperatures tomorrow, 11 to 15 degrees. A look back on today's main stories. The next major phase of the 10T Priority Route Improvement Project is set to begin this week. Donegal County Council has confirmed that planning, environmental assessments and compulsory purchase order documentation will be published in national and local newspapers on Thursday. The Council say the project is of regional and national importance and represents the single greatest investment in the transport infrastructure in Donegal in modern history. The HSE has a contingency plan in place ahead of ambulance service disruption to the public tomorrow. EMTs, paramedics and advanced paramedics are engaging in a work to rule today, followed by a 24-hour work stoppage beginning at 8 a.m. The work to rule today mainly affects internal procedures and means there will be a limited disruption today. Brenda McGovern is General Manager Operations of the National Ambulance Service in the Northwest. On today's Greg Hughes show, he urged unions to return to the negotiating table, saying people who call for ambulances during strike action tomorrow may be diverted elsewhere. There were decreases across the board on the live register in Donegal during April compared to last year. Countywide, there was a 6% decrease in the number of people on the register. The largest single decreases were seen at Ballybuffet, Donegal Town and Dunglow's social welfare offices. And health officials in Northern Ireland are asking people with symptoms of stomach bugs not to visit hospitals or healthcare centres as cases of illnesses, including norovirus, continue to circulate in the community. The Western Health and Social Care Trust says anyone suffering from vomiting, nausea, stomach cramps or abdominal pain should stay away from healthcare settings to reduce the risk of infection spreading to vulnerable patients. People are also being reminded not to return to hospitals or care facilities until at least 48 hours after their symptoms have cleared. That's all for the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news in full again at 7 o'clock.
The obituary notices this Monday evening, May 11th. The death has occurred of Daniel Danny Gallagher, Ballylock and Brooklis, and formerly of St John's Point, Dunkaneely. Remains are reposing at the family home at Ballylochran, Brooklis tomorrow from 3 o'clock until 9 o'clock, and on Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary on both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Thursday at 12 noon in the Church of St Joseph and St Connell, Brooklis, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Harbour Lights Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund or the RNLI, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Michael Joseph Breslin, 34, Clochfadraig, Carndonagh, formerly of Carobeg, Leckamy. Michael's remains will leave Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, at 6 o'clock this evening, going to his home. Funeral from there on Thursday at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Ballinacrae, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Edward Ned McGee, Lower Glasha Gwydor, formerly of Lunya Beg Gwydor. His remains will repose at Rorty's funeral home, Derrybeg, today until Rosary at 8 o'clock, followed by removal to his daughter Noreen's home in Glasha to repose overnight. House private to family only, please, before the funeral, which will take place tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in Chactafubble, Colmkill, Knockfalla, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page, and on the church webcam via NCM Media. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to surgical to Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Helen Williamson, née Alford, 4 High Road, Sion Mills, formerly of Tamna Brian Breedy, reposing at her home today. A service of thanksgiving is there tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by interment in Yearney Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley's Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Edwina Begley, née Devenny, 217 Ballycolman Estate, Strabane, reposing at her home today until 10 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Charles Cahill O'Donnell, Ard Connell Glenties. Charles' remains will repose at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, Ardra, today until 8 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of James McGuinness Funeral Directors, Glenties, or any family member. The death has taken place of Emma Malloy, Stragar, Killybegs, reposing at his residence today for family, friends and neighbours. Removal from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Mass will be streamed live on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Northwest Hospice via any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.